Praise God. Well, if you can take your Bibles, remain standing for a little bit longer. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's lovely to see everybody here. Just remind anyone, if you've left your Bible at church and you don't know where your Bible is, there's a chance that you may have left it at church. And so just out underneath the staircase in the foyer, there is a bookshelf with lots of Bibles. Might be able to find your Bible there. It will have, hopefully, your name in it, and we'll be able to get your Bible back to you. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. I'm hoping I'm able to speak in sentences today. I didn't get home from a wedding that was out of town until 1 a.m. last night, and I certainly slept very well, but not long enough. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. And even on the best of days, I don't pronounce my words very well and get muddled up. So let's see how we go today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, and James chapter 1 and verse 5. The first scripture is on the screen. How long? Everybody say, how long? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scoffers delight in their scoffing. Everybody say, how long? And how long will fools hate knowledge? Everybody say, how long? Let's read it again. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scoffers delight in their scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of, it doesn't say Google, does it? No. Doesn't even say ask your friend. If any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of, because he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so I was thinking, this is family week still, family month, and I'm continuing to talk about important things that relate to the family, that relate to marriage, that relate to life in general. But the thing about this series is that they have all been very practical. On the first week, we talked about raising our children in the ways of God. Last week, we talked about the importance of making the right decision when it comes to our friends. And today, I want to talk about wisdom. Wisdom is life by God's design. Wisdom, what is wisdom? And I had another idea. I was going to call it wisdom, D-U-M-D. How to stop making dumb decisions. But I think this is a little bit better. Wisdom is living life by God's design. And it's a beautiful promise. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because God gives it liberally. And we all need to make wise decisions. Let's pray, ask God to speak to us today. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we can ask of you for wisdom. And Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord God, speak to every heart. Speak especially to, Lord, those that are leading others, Lord, whether in their families, Lord God, or in their marriage, Lord God, or in their life, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word today. That, Lord, we would not just be hearers, but we would be doers also. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and hopefully it's not just a few select people that raise their hand, but how many of us have done something really dumb? All right, that's good. I was hoping it wasn't just going to be me. But we've all done something dumb. In fact, when we do it, we think, I should have known better. I should have known better. And the funny thing is, I was thinking about that, is that in most cases, we did actually know better. But we just thought that we could beat the odds. You know what I'm talking about? We thought that somehow, even though we were going to do something that we knew we shouldn't do, we thought we could be an exception to the rule. Like speeding, for instance. Oh, the police are never on this road. I'll be right. Just 10 over, I'll be okay. We should have known better, but the reality is we thought that we could be an exception to the rule and that somehow we would beat the odds and we'd be okay. We've all done something dumb. One of the things that we all have in common here today, and I saw the raising of hands, is that we've all made mistakes and we've done dumb things. Something else we have in common, this is another thing, listen carefully, is that when somebody else makes a mistake, we can see their error so clearly. We're driving home with our wife and say, they're going to make a big mistake. They shouldn't really be doing that. Or we talk to some, we're thinking to ourselves, we're thinking, you know, they're about to make a very big mistake. And this is one thing we all do. We can see the mistakes of others. We can see their errors so clearly. But when it comes to us, we seem to have a blind spot. We miss it. It's like we're the only ones that didn't know it was a dumb thing to do. Everybody else knew. And so, where do we get wisdom? We need wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. And we get our wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, and I would say by the show of hands today, we all need a little dose of wisdom. But we get wisdom from God. And He knows us better than we know ourselves. He holds the future in His hands. And if you want wisdom today, then ask of God. Don't ask of Google. Don't ask of your friends. But if you want wisdom, ask of God. Now, the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book. It has so much wisdom in it. And if you've got a young person going into their teenage years, one of the greatest things you could do to them is to get them to read the book of Proverbs. Because if you read the book of Proverbs, it's like reading the owner's manual for life. It's a father writing some wisdom to his son, and you can learn a lot about life from reading the book of Proverbs. You can learn even about who the good people to date are and who the ones that aren't. You can learn about marriage. You can learn about your work ethic. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs is a collection of, you know, of 513 of the 3,000 wise sayings. Kings tells us, 1 Kings 4:32 says that King Solomon had 3,000 wise sayings. So Proverbs has 513 of those wise sayings. They're all there in your Bible. And the purpose of Proverbs at the outset in Proverbs chapter 1, it says, the purpose of Proverbs is to perceive and to receive. Perceive, to see it, and to get it, to perceive and to receive whose wisdom? God's wisdom. And so wisdom in the scripture, and I was hesitant to use that picture because the light bulb coming on, we often think of our mind. But wisdom in the Bible is not so much a matter of the mind, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Everyone say heart. Real wisdom, this is important, at its most basic level, is simply obeying God. Everyone say obedience. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So before you can even begin to get wisdom, you've got to fear God. And by fearing God doesn't mean you have the whole wisdom, it's just the beginning of wisdom. And so what does it mean to fear God? Now, think about it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, these are the holy things, the knowledge of His word is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, these holy things, the holy Bible, is understanding. Now, If you knew that your secret thoughts were going to be publicly displayed, okay? Let's think of a big screen like this, all right? Like in church, all right? If you knew that your secret thoughts were going to be thrown up on the screen during church with your name tag next to it, you know, Sarah Drew, she just thought about lunch. Peter thought about what he's going to do next weekend, throwing up on the screen. Can you imagine that? They're pretty harmless sorts of thoughts. But if you knew that your thoughts were going to be thrown up on the screen, you'd be very careful about what you thought in church, wouldn't you? I'm sure some people are thinking about how much sleep they missed out on last night. But if your thoughts were going to be thrown up there, if your words were going to be thrown up there, if your actions were going to be publicly displayed so everyone could see them, then you would be very, very, very careful about what you said, what you did, where you went, your actions. You would be so careful. It would completely change our life, wouldn't it? It would change our thought life. It would change our actions. It would change the way we speak. It would make a profound difference in the way we live, because we have this instinctive concern about what other people think about us. And so if they knew, we'd be so careful. We don't want people to think bad of us. And so we're careful. Now, if we have this much concern for what other men and women think of us and our actions, how much more should we be concerned about what God thinks about our thoughts, about what God thinks about our words, about what God thinks about our attitude, about what God thinks about our actions, about what God thinks about our motives? And this is it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you start living life knowing that God knows what's going on in here, God knows what's going on in here, God knows our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our motives. When you start living life knowing that God knows all of those things, the fear of the Lord has been come into your life. A respect and a reverence has come into your life. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if you want to get on the wisdom train, then you need to start remembering that God knows everything. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is what it means to fear the Lord, to remember that and always be aware that God knows. It might not be getting thrown up on the big screen. It might not be getting tweeted out, you know. No. But God knows. Other people may not know, but God knows. Everyone say, God knows. Maybe you need to put that on your display on your phone. God knows, you know. Let's go back to our text now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. We have some interesting people here. We have three people, simple people, scoffers and fools. Three people. How long? And I'm sure my parents thought this to themselves with me many times. How long? How long will Jonathan be so simple, void of understanding? How long will he be a fool? I don't think I was necessarily, I probably was a scoffer at my parents at times as well. How long? And the word of God says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? I mean, it seems like you love to be so simple and so void of understanding. It seems like you love it. How long will you love simplicity? And scoffers, how long will you delight in your scoffing and enjoy it? And how long, fools? You ever met somebody, they're such a fool that you actually think they hate knowing anything? How long will fools hate knowledge? Now, I'm going to add a fourth person there. You've got simple people, scoffers, fools, and then on the other side of the coin, you've got wise people. Simple, scoffers, fools, and wise. Now, These four responses, simple, scoffers, fools, and wise, these four responses, the response of the fool, the response of the simple, the response of the scoffer, and the response of the wise, this is often the four typical responses when it comes to God's wisdom. So, for instance, let's say the preaching of the word comes forth, or a warning comes from somebody, an elder or somebody who gives you some instruction out of the word of God. The naive or the simple, everyone say the simple. When God's word comes forth, the simple person says, that'll never happen to me. It's going to be all right for me. It's going to work out. I'm going to be okay, because they're simple and naive. That's so when the preaching comes forth and maybe there's a warning, a simple person says, nah, I'll be right. It'll happen to everyone else, but not me, because they're void of understanding. Now, the Bible says about fools, when the wisdom of God comes forth, a fool, this is how they respond in their heart. They say, it may happen to me, but I don't care. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, I don't care. It may happen to me. You know, when dad says to you, you know, if you keep driving like that, you're going to have a crash. And a fool says, yeah, maybe, but I don't care. That's the fool's response. And then the scoffer or the scorner. God's wisdom comes forth, or some instruction comes forth, and a scorner says, and it may be your boss speaking to you at work. Okay, maybe your boss, and you get some instruction and you get some wisdom, and the scoffer says, yeah, it may happen to me, but who are you to tell me that? Who are you to tell me that? They're a scoffer. Anyone ever had someone say something like that? I think you're right, but who are you to tell me that? They're scoffing at the wisdom. You know, yes, God's word may be right, but who's God to tell me what to do? The pastor preached may be right, yes, but who's he to tell me what to do? Because they're a scoffer. They think they're above everybody. And then you've got the wise person. A wise person, when they hear instruction, said, yeah, that describes me exactly, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to listen, because you know what? I think that God's word may know, God may know more than I do. And that person who's older than me may know more than I do. And my boss at work, or my superior, or the foreman may have had a little bit more experience than me. He's going to know more than I do, and I'm going to do exactly what they say. And so the naive says, it's not going to happen to me. The fool says, I don't care anyway. The scorner says, who are you to tell me about that? And the wise person says, I'm going to take your counsel and do something about it. Now, here's the really in-your-face question. Which one are you? Now, some of us can probably say, yeah, yeah, I'm wise. But are you wise in every part? Some of us may be simple in some parts. Simple or naive. If you're a simple, this is the thing. If I was to ask somebody, put your hand up if you're naive and simple. And I'm not asking, so don't put your hands up. You don't want, you know, some lone person going. Well, if they did that, they would no longer be simple. If one person lifted their hand and said, I'm simple, I would say, well, you're the only one that's not simple. Because if you're simple, you won't admit it or even know it. By the time that you figure out that you're simple and naive, then you won't be anymore. So the best thing, if you run a business, the best thing that you can have with one of your new staff members is for them to come to the realization that they know nothing and they're on their way to wisdom. You're like, you know what? I can work with this. One of the young boys at our church, he's just going to start an apprenticeship soon. And he's like, Pastor, I don't know anything about roof plumbing. I'm like, man, you're an apprentice. That's good. I mean, that's the best thing. You can rock up to the worksite and say, hey, boss, I don't know anything. He goes, great, good start. Good if he rocks up. Brother Yuka, if you have someone turn up to your business and tell you that they know everything, straight away the alarm bells are going. Here we go. So it's good to walk in, even if you know a little bit, just understate it. I know nothing. And then when you've exposed the little bit that you know, you go, wow, he's pretty smart. Understate, all right? So if you are naive, you won't admit it. You wouldn't even know it. And by the time you figure out that you're naive and simple, you won't be anymore. And if you're still in school, all right, young people, you're automatically naive and simple. I'm sorry to say that. Because it's not an insult. I'm sorry about that. But everyone comes into this world as a young person as naive. And so just remember that the next time you have a dealing with your parents, that you really don't know very much. Because a simple person lacks experience. Everyone say experience. And experience comes with time and mistakes. The simple person. So a simple person lacks experience, but they won't admit it. A simple person repeatedly walks into trouble. Have you ever seen someone that's constantly getting themselves in trouble? Absolutely. Oh, you did it again, man. Like, how foolish can you be? And so Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth evil. He can see how this is going to turn out. And he hideth himself. He keeps away. But the simple, they pass on and are punished. Let's keep going. Ah! Couldn't see that coming. Why? No experience. Naive. Simple. And so, everybody say naive. So a prudent man can see evil ahead, he can see danger, and he keeps away. But the simple pass on and are punished. The simple almost always have to learn the hard way. I've learned a lot of things the hard way. When someone who is wise speaks to a simple person, the simple person goes, I think you're overreacting. I remember, I love the outdoors. And one of the most beautiful places in the world, and not everyone can go there, it's a restricted area, but is the Torres Strait Islands. And we would go out an hour, we'd get in a dinghy and go right out near Papua New Guinea to these beautiful reefs. And as the tide is falling, the tide falls on the reef. The reef is massive, like as big as the Woden Valley, massive reefs. And the tide will fall, and inside the reef there are these big lagoons. And so the tide falls, we get the boat out onto the reef before the tide falls. And then the tide falls and there's about that much water on top of the reef, which is good because that means the sharks can't get over the top of the reef. But in the middle of the reef are these big lagoons. And you know, all the fish get trapped in the lagoons. So you jump in there with your spear, and I like to spear fish. You jump in there, it's like swimming in a fish tank. Even I can shoot a fish. And I was getting ready to go, and I got my flippers on, I got my wetsuit, I'm ready to go. And my dad says, remember, Jonathan, you are not experienced. And I'm like, I think you're overreacting, Dad. He said to me, when was the last time you went diving? And how many times have you been spearfishing in your life? I said, well, probably about 5 or 6 times, Dad. He goes, well, you know nothing. Be careful. You're not immortal. And so my dad was saying to me, saying, Jonathan, you're simple. When it comes to spearfishing, you're simple. He says, be careful, otherwise you're going to be one of those people that simply pass on and are punished. The book of Proverbs is intended primarily to provide an education to us. So, Proverbs 7 is about wisdom and the strange woman. It says, Proverbs 7 verse 6 and 7, says, for at the window of my house, I looked through the casement, looked outside the house, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding. He looked out into the crowd. You can see it in Proverbs 7, verse 6 and 7 yourself. He looked out. He saw a young fella out there who seemed to be void of understanding. He's like, this guy's, he's going to have some trouble. Then it goes on in verse 21, because he ended up getting himself entangled with the wrong woman or the wrong girl. It says in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. So she was good with words, and this young man, he's just yielded. He's like, oh, I'm in love. And the guy looking through the window is thinking, hey, be careful, Mr. Simple. Don't fall for it. It says, with the flattering of her lips, she forced him, and he goeth after her straight away. Anyone ever seen someone chasing someone they shouldn't be chasing? Because they're just flattering their lips. Goes both sides. And it says, and he chased after her straight away as an ox goes to the slaughter. He's like, here we go. He's going to cop it. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to a snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. And so he looks out, he sees this simple person's going to make a mistake. Then Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 8 tells us that wisdom is available. Wisdom, men, wisdom is always referred to as feminine. I think God might have known something. Wisdom is always referred to in the feminine. And it says in Proverbs chapter 8, it's basically the whole chapter, read from verse 1 to 5 especially, but it basically says wisdom is available to anyone who wants it. Wisdom doesn't play hard to get. In fact, Proverbs chapter 8 starts out by saying, wisdom cries out. And young people and older people today, wisdom is crying out to you today. If any man or any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom cries out. And so don't be simple. Then the second person is the fool. The fool knows the difference between right and wrong, but they don't care. Do you understand the consequences? Yes. Are you concerned? No. Won't happen to me. I'll deal with it when it happens because right now I'm having too much fun. And so the fool knows the difference, but they don't care. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, it says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. It's like a pastime. It's like a hobby. They like to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The tongue of the wise uses his knowledge aright. But the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. Fools, every time they open their mouth, it's like foolishness is pouring out of their mouth. Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And so the only way for a fool, everyone say a fool, to change, only way they can change is to face the consequences of their decisions. Sometimes you just got to let them go and make a mistake so they realize that there are consequences and that they are no exception because they are a fool. And a lot of people say, and I've heard it time and time again, they say, Pastor, I finally got right with God when my life hit rock bottom. It works. Yep, it does work. When someone hits rock bottom, they normally look up to God. It works, but it's not the best way. It does work. And I've had to tell parents who have had foolish children, I said, I think you've done enough. You're just going to have to let them make a mistake and learn for themselves. It does work. Hitting rock bottom does work, but it's not nice. There's better ways to learn. And then we learned last week that if you make a friend with a foolish person, that you might not blow up, but they're going to blow up and you're going to hit with a shrapnel. It says, he that walketh with wise men is wise or shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So the simple person has no experience, they're clueless. The fool, okay, they know what's right or wrong, but they don't care. So the simple person is clueless, the fool is careless, and the scorner is critical. Scorners or scoffers or mockers. The scorner is like a fool on steroids. Okay, the scorner is like the fool, but they have taken it one step further. They are a fool, but now they're going to be critical of people that are doing the right thing. They're going to scoff and mock and scorn at people that do the right thing. And if you try to discipline a fool that is, they'll ignore you. But if you try to discipline a scoffer, they'll hate you. If you try to tell a fool the right thing to do, they'll ignore you. But if you try to tell a scoffer that they're doing the wrong thing, they're going to want to fight you. Anyone ever met someone like that? Got all aggressive? Hey, man, I'm just trying to help. because they're scoffers. How long are they going to stay as scoffers? And so Proverbs says, look at this. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, though, and he'll love thee. It says, if you try to discipline a scorner, they're going to hate you. But if you help and rebuke a wise man, it says, they're going to love you. You're going to say, thanks. Thanks for watching out for me. It was hard to take, but thanks. And so the Bible says you can only, if you've got a scorner, if maybe you're an employer here, and you've got a scorner, well, in the meantime, until you can find someone else to employ, the Bible says the best thing you can do, the Bible says, is to drive them out of your midst. Proverbs 22 verse 10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Cast out the scorner. Your trouble will be gone. Contention shall go out. Yay. Strife and reproach shall cease. Things will be better. Don't try and mollycoddle them. The Bible says, cast out the scorner. Now, it's not that grace and forgiveness isn't available for the fool, the simple, or the scorner. It's just that if you're a simple or a fool or a scorner, that you don't want to receive it. You can't be corrected. And eventually, all of these people, the fool, the simple, and the scorner, they will eventually realize that they need wisdom. They will, eventually. But hopefully, in the meantime, they won't do too much damage. But a lot of people, they'll do a lot of damage to their life while they come to the realization that they need wisdom. You see, listen to me very carefully now, young people. Destiny happens in steps. You are not born successful. You are not born unsuccessful. You are not born, you know, all of these things. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Destiny happens in steps. It's not magic moments. It happens in steps. It's all about steps. And so in your life, young people, older people alike, every step we take, we say, God, I need your wisdom. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and thy word is a light unto my path. I know, God, that my destiny is made up of steps, and I want to take wise steps. I want to make wise decisions. So God, I seek your face that I may make the right decision. I go to your word so I may find understanding, because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Decisions. We aren't born successful. It's a series of steps that gets us there. We aren't born hateful or violent either, no. It's a series of steps that gets us there. And so what is the wise thing? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is the wise thing? Now, that's a good question. Learn to ask yourself this question often. What is the wise thing? Now, that's a good question to ask, but the reality is we often don't ask ourselves that question. Usually, when we're making a decision, okay, we run our options and our opportunities through a different filter. We don't run our options and opportunities through a filter that says, what is the wise decision? No. When we make a decision, the first thing we think is there anything wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with what I'm going to do? And so the assumption is that if there's nothing wrong, that if there's nothing illegal, that is nothing unethical, that if there's nothing immoral, then, well, that's an option. That's how we often think. I'm not going to ask anyone to nod their head. No, don't do that. Don't raise your hand. But it's often how we think. We don't think, is it a wise decision? We say, is there anything wrong with it? Is it criminal? No. All right. It's an option. Maybe we'll do that. And we say to the pastor, well, is there a thou shalt not in the Bible for that one? And we say, well, no, there's not. And so we say, okay, if there's not a thou shalt not, then the Bible must be thou shalt if thou please. But we're asking ourselves the wrong question. The right question is, what is the wise decision? And if you want to make a wise decision, it's not just a matter of the head, it's a matter of the heart. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so the real question behind many of our choices, we think, is it right or wrong? How close can I get to the line between right or wrong without actually doing something wrong? How far, some even think, how far over the line can I go without experiencing the consequences? And eventually, we'll be asking ourselves, we started by asking, is it wrong? No, okay. How close can I live to the line between right and wrong? Okay. How far can I go over the line and not experience the consequences? And eventually, we'll ask ourselves the question, how did I get myself in this mess? Because you asked yourself the wrong question in the first place. Ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? God never intended us to live life on a level doing things that are permissible, legal, acceptable. Is it, you know, prosecutable? No. God wants us to examine every choice through the lens of wisdom. Is it a wise thing to do? I'm going to jump right into something now and talk about morality. Nothing has stolen more dreams and broken up more families and messed up more people psychologically than when we disregard God's wisdom and God's commandments when it comes to sexual purity. Most of our major social problems in our country are caused by the misuse of our sexuality. A lot of the problems we have often comes down to the breakdown of the family unit. And you can normally trace that back in a lot of places to the misuse or of wrong sexuality. That's not according to God's word. No regret runs deeper than a regret associated with making an unwise moral decision. And people, why do people make such foolish decisions when it comes to morality? Because there's something that whispers to them, you're different, you're unique, you're going to be all right, okay? And sometimes, you know, you try to talk to a young couple, that you know, and the first thing they say, oh, but I've never experienced a love like this. We're unique. Nobody else has been as in love as we have. Nobody else, Pastor, has ever felt this way. We're special and we're unique. And what they're saying is that God's laws when it comes to morality don't apply because we're unique. Nobody, or they say, nobody has had to deal with what I've had to deal with. Or I can handle it. I'm not like everyone else. Oh, the statistics don't apply to me. The statistics don't apply to my kids. I know what's best for me because I'm unique. And as long as you remain convinced that you are unique, you will resist asking the right question, which is, what is the wise thing to do? At the end of your life, if not before, you will discover that you were not so unique after all. And that there are rules in life that apply to everybody. So here's a good one for you. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18. Turn there in your Bibles. I'm going to get right up in the grill of some young people today and older people alike. Are you there? 1 Corinthians. Oh, there's a word there we don't hear much anymore. It starts with F. It's fornication. I'm going to give it back to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. It's not a word I'm going to get you to repeat, but fornication. We call it these days living together. What? You mean fornication? Sharing a bed. Or that, actually, sleeping together. Oh, is that all you do? Oh, it's silent in here now. We made up all these nice words for it. Sometimes when I hear all those words, I feel like saying, you mean fornication? And everyone's like, oh. It's what the Bible calls it. Oh, we're just living together. You mean having fornication? Oh, don't be so offensive. Well, you just told me that. And what's the Bible say about fornication? The first word. You want to be wise when it comes to moral things? It says, flee. Not F-L-E-A. You may get fleas. But the Bible says flee. And does anyone know what that word flee means? Anyone in the front row?
Get away from it.
Run. Yep, get away from it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. To protect ourselves in this culture, which is so immoral, to protect ourselves, listen very carefully. To protect ourselves, it's necessary that we take extreme measures. Pastor, I was out with this young lady and she started getting friendly with me. I started feeling tempted. What should I do? Flee! Oh, that's a bit over cautious, isn't it? No, flee. The Bible says flee. You might get yourself caught up in fornication. Flee. Oh, that would be overreacting, Pastor. No, or maybe, but it's good to overreact. If you've ever talked to people, listen, if you have ever talked to people that have underreacted and paid dearly, then you would understand why I tell you to overreact. Some of us here today can think back to times where we underreacted and we paid for it. And we wish we overreacted. So Paul says, flee. Even extreme measures, even if you take extreme measures after the fact, they can't erase what's happened. So why not take extreme precautions now? And when you're presented with a situation where you're tempted with fornication or any other moral thing like that, the Bible says the best thing to do, and here's some wisdom, flee. Run for your life. Get out of there. Hightail it. Do whatever you have to do. Go home to mom and dad. Whatever. Go find a safe place. Go to the hospital. Whatever. Just get out of there. Everybody say flee. I don't even know why I put that in my notes. But the Bible gives us the secret of wise people. The secret. This is how they became wise. This is how they continue to be wise. Wise people know when they don't know. And they're not afraid to ask for help from those who do know, to ask from God, to ask from others. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but he insisted that we should always pursue the counsel of others when we are not sure. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Find some people that are a few miles ahead in life and seek their counsel. They'll be happy to tell you. They might tell you how you could learn from their mistakes. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Recognize, this is important, write this down if you're taking notes. Recognize who God is and who you're not. You can't out-God God. I've told people when I've tried to counsel them, I said, why are you going to come talk to me? You haven't even prayed about it. You think that I'm flesh. Flesh can't fix flesh. I may be a pastor, but I'm not God. I can't out-God God. Recognize who God is and who you're not. I'm going to leave you with a few dot points before we finish. When making a decision, pray for guidance. First of all, prayer. Everyone say prayer. Before you do anything else, get God's perspective on it. A different version, the Living Bible says, a man is a fool to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe. We've got a big decision to make. Pray first. Ask God. The second thing, this sounds unspiritual, but it's important. It says, after you've prayed, then get the facts. Everyone say facts. Not your emotions. But get the facts. There is no contradiction between faith and fact. Find out everything you can before you make a decision. Proverbs 13 verse 16 says, all who are prudent act with knowledge. They act on the facts. And so uneducated enthusiasm. You know, that gets a lot of people in trouble. The enthusiasm when they got no facts. And that's why we like to give people premarital counseling. They're enthusiastic. They love each other. But uneducated enthusiasm is very dangerous. And so we bring him into the office and they're like, they've got their arms around each other. I'm like, oh, you need an education. You know, you must like each other and you're going to get married. Let me tell you, not long into your marriage, you're going to have a fight. No. Nope, they're the facts. There are going to be times when you're going to feel like walking out on each other. No, not us. No, they're the facts. You see, the reason why you're in here, in my office, seeking counsel, and the reason why I'm worried is because you have uneducated enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, which is uneducated, is like running off a cliff. So you need to get the facts. The next thing you can do is ask for advice. Talk to somebody who's made a similar decision. Talk to trusted people. Talk to friends. People that know you well. Everyone say well. Well enough to even know your weaknesses. Talk to them. Ask for advice. We already read it before. Proverbs 24 verse 6 says, the more good advice you get, the more likely you are to win. Talk to a few people. Henry Ford, he was a very successful man. Someone asked Henry Ford, what is the secret to success? And Henry Ford said, wise decisions. They said, well, Henry, how do you make wise decisions? He says, from experience. They said, well, Henry, how do you get experience? He said, from making stupid decisions. And then he summed it up. He says, it's wise to learn from your mistakes and experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience and the mistakes of others. Yeah. It's wise to learn from your own mistakes and experiences, but it's even more wise to learn from the mistakes and experiences of others. So talk to someone else. The next thing is calculate the cost. Every decision has a price tag. It will cost you time, money, energy, reputation, talents, resources. Proverbs 20 verse 25 says, it is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. It's unwise to think about the cost once you're already in there. When people put pressure on you to make a decision, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, let me get back to you. And that's why I don't like those door-to-door salesmen, you know. They come pressuring you. And when you tell them, say, no, let me think about it. Give me some time. No, it's an offer. It's only available today. And you're going to miss out. Do you really want to suffer for the rest of your life and all that? And then, no, give me some time. Prepare for problems. Everyone say problems. In faith, we expect the best. Expect God to work in our life, but we also prepare for problems. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simple man goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. We need wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom is living life the way God intended. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom doesn't automatically come. And let me say this, I'm sorry to all of us who are getting silver hair. But just because someone has silver hair doesn't mean they're wise. And the same applies. Just because someone doesn't have silver hair doesn't mean they're not smart. But anybody who puts their trust in God, anybody who seeks God can have wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. You see, wisdom doesn't automatically come. And look at this on the screen. It has to be known, Proverbs 1 verse 2. It has to be received, Proverbs 1 verse 3. It has to be heard, Proverbs 2 verse 2. It needs to be taken to heart, Proverbs 2 verse 10. It needs to be found, Proverbs 3 verse 13. It needs to be kept, Proverbs 3 21. It needs to be gotten, Proverbs 4 verse 7. It needs to be learned, Proverbs 4 11. It needs to be attended to, Proverbs 5 verse 1. It needs to be understood, Proverbs 8 verse 5. It needs to be valued, Proverbs 8 verse 11. It needs to be purchased, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. And finally, wisdom needs to be loved, Proverbs 29 and verse 3. If the musicians could come, we're going to finish this service. 1 Corinthians 1 24 says, Jesus Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. It says Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so wisdom doesn't come automatically. Jesus is wisdom. The book of Proverbs is Jesus wrapped in flesh. It is all of these Proverbs are animated and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so, just like if you want wisdom, all of the wisdom expressed in Proverbs is hidden in Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so, if wisdom it needs to be found, then if you want wisdom, you need to know Jesus. You need to receive Jesus. You need to hear Jesus. You need to take Him into your heart. You need to find Him. You need to keep Him. You need to get Him. You need to learn from Him. You need to attend to Him. You need to understand Him. You need to value Him. You need to purchase Him. And you need to love Him. Strangely enough, in Jesus' parable on the 10 virgins, which represents the last days that we are living in now, and the coming of the Lord, the people who presented an opposing views, they're the ones, the wise virgins. They were ready. And then there's the simple ones. They weren't ready. Or some maybe even scorning. But don't be a foolish virgin. Make sure you're ready when Jesus comes back. You see, a lot of people know what is right and they know that Jesus is coming back soon. But they don't care. The foolish virgins. I'll be right. Be okay. Somehow I'll get into heaven. No, not unless you do it God's way. Don't be a foolish virgin. Because there is a spirit in this age that we are living right now. And it's the most dangerous spirit of all that says, you know what? I'm an exception. God's going to make a way somehow. I'll get in there. I'll be right. God understands. I'm unique. I'm not like everyone else. The word of God doesn't apply to me. Matthew 25 verse 1 to 4 says this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I've talked about wisdom today. And we need to ask the right question. What is the wise decision to do? If you want wisdom, who do you ask of? Let him ask of God. Wisdom is not playing hard to get. Proverbs 8 says, wisdom cries out. Come, you can have wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But I couldn't leave you today without reminding you that the wisest thing you could ever do in life is to be ready when Jesus comes back. To make sure you've got oil in your lamps. To make sure that you're burning on fire for God. Don't be found in a backslidden state. Keep short accounts with God. Have a daily prayer life with God. Pray prayers of repentance continually in your life that you are in the right place with God. So that when He comes back, and the Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour. We may know the season, but we don't know the day or the hour. That it does not catch you by surprise. That you're not a foolish virgin, but you are wise, with oil in your lamp, ready for the coming of Jesus. I want us all to stand here today. We love You, God, and we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, You have given us so much wisdom in Your Word. We thank You for the promise, oh God, that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. Lord, help us not to be the simple or the naive or the foolish. And especially, oh God, help us not to be a scorner. Lord God, we want to be wise. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the direction we have from Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You speak to our hearts and lead and guide us. Lord, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray for every person in this place today that we would leave this place knowing that wisdom is available, that wisdom crieth out. And Lord God, if we would seek our relationship with You, if we would ask You, Lord God, that You would give us wisdom. Lord Jesus, we want to make the right decision. And Lord, for those that may be here today, Lord God, who are far from You, Lord, maybe they're in Your house today, but their heart is far from You. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would be wise to make it right with You today. Lord God, that they would call upon You in repentance. For those here today that haven't been baptized, Lord, as your word says, Lord God, that they would take that decision, Lord, to be baptized in your name for the remission of their sins, oh God. And Lord, for those of us who haven't yet been filled with your Spirit, Lord God, we recognize the need to be filled with your Spirit, oh God, because it is your Spirit that leads and guides us. It leads us into truth. Lord, it helps us discern what is right or wrong. We thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hand all across this place right now. Wisdom crieth out today. Wisdom crieth out. We love you, Jesus. Oh God, we want to make wise decisions for the sake of our children, for the sake of our marriages, for the sake of our futures, oh God. We want to make wise decisions. Lord God, help us to trust in you, to rely on you, God, in every part of our life. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord as we sing.